Well, so far this week, we've heard quite a lot of how the mining environment in the world, and indeed in Africa, is improving by some regulatory nightmares in the DRC and here in South Africa. But I see very little that can be used to really substantiate this. And from a deal-making perspective, the interesting thing for me is whether the annual shindig down in Cape Town is going to result in any decent deal flow. If you see the hotels around the ICC overflowing and bustling, I think you know that it's fair to say the industry is in rude health. And I think also looking for how deals are constructed. I think if we see lots of scrip deals, lots of shares issued, will be certainly for me a bit of a warning sign, a bit of a canary in the coal mine that this might be at a particularly late stage of the cycle and that we might be nearing the top. Well, to find out how Mining Charter 3 has changed mining deals in South Africa and what the general mood around deal making is, I've got Alan Reed, Director of Corporate and Commercial at CDH on the line. Alan, welcome to the show.
Good evening, Michael.
What is the mood at Indaba like this year from a deal-making perspective? I know mining men and women are particularly optimistic even at the worst of times, and we're far from that. So I would imagine that the talk of deals is all over the place.
Michael, yes, there is an optimism, again, within the mining sector, which I think was started really in Davos with Cyril Ramaphosa clearly indicating to investors that the mining charter would be looked at again. It's a case of certainly not euphoria. Mm. It's a case of measured optimism, I think would probably be the way to describe it. A hope that things can improve in the future and that future is not too far away.
Which does mean, though, that we're somewhere away from deals being announced, but it will mean that deal teams are starting to look at assets, are starting to probably advise clients that if things do turn, one would want to move quite quickly, so be getting into that pre-due diligence mode. We have seen some exits, though. Let's have a look at the exits, because a big one, Anglo selling its stake in New Largo recently, obviously particular issues around the coal industry and Eskom's adherence to procurement from only 50% plus one suppliers. We had the Chamber come out on Monday saying that one of its bigger members is actually considering exiting South Africa entirely. Didn't mention any names. So if we look at who is exiting at the moment, what does that tell us?
Michael, the people exiting are generally the foreign investors, the larger corporations who are divesting of assets which are not performing to the levels required to sustain the amount of capital they need in those big organizations to run the operations. They're looking at perhaps not an increase in deal flow, but perhaps a different type of deal flow. At the moment, we are looking really at stress asset transactions. We're looking at companies that are exiting South Africa because specifically, I think, of the Mining Charter 3 and the manner in which it was announced. It was a shock to the industry.
That said, though, Neil Pretorius was quite outspoken today. He's the CEO of DRD Gold, saying that South African mining companies must just put up with it, either accept the unique challenges of operating in South Africa or sell up their assets and move on. Do you get that sense? There have been some successful deal makers who've stuck it out, the likes of Neil Frinneman and Sibanye, and what he's managed to, I wouldn't say cobbled together, really stitched together in the platinum sector springs to mind.
Indeed. The local operations are perhaps best placed to take up the assets that are coming onto the market and to deal with them in a way which can turn them into profitable operations.
At this stage of the cycle, we know that many mining companies have spent quite a few years through the downturn becoming lean and mean again, deleveraging as much as they can, ensuring their balance sheets are healthy, getting rid of that debt, and one would assume, therefore, that there are quite a few cash flush, acquisitive, deal-hungry firms out there looking to buy either a distressed asset or looking for a great deal and looking to consolidate. What do you see as the big drivers when it comes to a deal structure?
The deal structure, I think, the drivers are value. Principally, as I say, from foreign investors who are looking to exit, and larger mining companies who are looking to divest of non-performing assets. So the companies who are in a position to move quickly and who can obtain a degree of synergy between the existing operations and the acquisitions that they can make are in the pound seats as far as deal making is concerned.
I just want to touch on your value point quickly there, Alan. If we look at that as a fundamental driver, I suppose picking up an asset at the right price must be foremost and front of mind. Is that difficult to achieve? Is there a big expectation gap between potential buyers and sellers out there, considering at what stage we are in the cycle? At a stage in the cycle where commodities seem to have the tailwinds behind them.
Yeah, the tailwinds behind them, other than for platinum. Platinum remains particularly low. But certainly the price increases that we are seeing in the resource sector are helping to drive transactions. And I think there's a narrowing of the gap between what a seller would expect to sell for and what a purchaser would expect to buy for. That, I think, has become more realistic over the last while. And perhaps South African operators are best placed to deal with the likes of the mining charter and the somewhat tricky legislative environment.
Alan, let's speculate for a moment that we managed to resolve the issues around the mining charter, that that common sense prevails and that everyone around the table is willing to give what they have to give to find a situation where, let's call it, everyone's equally miserable. That's generally where you've got a good deal. But do you think we've lost our credibility in the eyes of potential foreign investors, many of those who have fled some time ago, or will we be able to attract that sort of foreign investment, long-term fixed capital, sinking new shafts or investing in new mines? Will we be able to attract that with relative ease if we provide certainty around the mining charter?
Michael, yes, I have a view that at the end of the day, money will follow the resources, and South Africa is in a fortunate position to have very good reserves. So I think at the end of the day, what we will see is a gradual return to investing in South African resources. We particularly need the junior miners and the middle tier chaps to come in and to invest, particularly in prospecting and exploration. That is one area that has been cut back fairly seriously by most of the mining companies in South Africa over the last couple of years in a bid to contain costs, and it will have a severe impact in the future. So we really do need to encourage the junior and mid-tier chaps back into the market, and I think that is where the most value would lie. The most the highest uptick in value for them would be in that sphere. So I think they would return, and I think the fact that we could resolve the mining charter would in fact be a good indicator of the resilience of the South African mining sector to investors.
Alan Reid, Director of Corporate and Commercial at Cliffdecker Hofmeyr, one of the top corporate law firms in the country, advising mining companies, and with a view that is certainly more glass half full than half empty. Up next, automation or bust. Stay tuned.